Woo! Good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm sorry. No, I'm just teasing here. My name is Brian, and I am one of the resident church planters here. You might be wondering, well, what does it mean that you're like a resident church planter? Well, basically what it means is I'm really interested in planting a church here, so much so that my wife and I moved from Roanoke, Virginia, all across the country back here to Utah, so that we could explore this opportunity. And we're really excited. We're entering like a fun season right now, I feel like, where so many around and in this community specifically are like hungering for discipleship. It's like all of a sudden there's just all of these people here that are like looking for discipleship or needing it. And so when Matthew and Kyle had announced doing this series we're about to start, I was like, man, this is like the perfect time. So I am like really excited. Admittedly, feel a little underwhelmed on myself just because I'm like, this was a cool class and I never got to participate in it. But here's the thing about this class. Who here else has taken this class called, was it called Join the Adventure? Join the Team? Has anybody here taken that class? Okay, I see a couple in the front row. It's always the front row guys, right? Jeez. I was a front row guy, but I was actually a C student in college, so something there didn't add up. But anyway, welcome to Utah Valley Church. We're glad you're here this morning, and I get to kick off this series called Join the Adventure, which pre-COVID was a class that we did. It was 3 hours long, tons of knowledge, and it just walked through really what the heartbeat of Utah Valley Church is, what makes us tick, what we have received from King Jesus to be our identity as a local congregation here in Spanish Fork, Utah. So I'm excited to get to be a part of this, and my hope is as we begin to walk through this, what will be a six-part series, is that God will put a call on your life that is specific. That's what my hope through this is. My other hope is that you'll come to learn and catch a fire for the vision of what it means to be a member of Utah Valley Church. And I'm hoping that wherever Jesus calls us in that, we would come to a place where we can share Jesus more boldly. We can find people to disciple us and people that we get to disciple. And today we get to talk about what our first part of the series is called, which is belonging, right? What does it mean to belong to this local body of believers? And on a bigger scale, what does it mean to belong to the global body of Jesus Christ? So we have to ask ourselves a question this morning, and the question is, what is church? What even is that? It's so funny because we use so many words throughout the day, and some of us, like myself, use way more than others every day. We use these words all the time, and we have like a vague idea of what it might mean, but if you ever just stop and think, well, what exactly is the word that I just said? And I think sometimes the word church can be one of those words that we use a lot, especially in Christian circles, but we don't really take time to stop and go, well, what does God define church as? Because I feel like, and of course this isn't true of everybody, but when we think of the word church, what immediately comes to mind is like a building. You know, like even for me, when I tell people, yeah, I go to a church in Spanish Fork, you know, in my mind, I'm picturing the Angelus Theater because that's where we gather. It's the place that we meet at. Some of us, when we hear the word church, we think of like that really super forward-thinking, like non-denominational church that has a random verb as its name, you know, like running church or something like that. We think of things like that. But the way God defines church is with this little Greek word. And the Greek word is ekklesia. Ekklesia. And the word in Greek actually has no connection to a building. It actually literally translates as called out ones. Called out ones. The word for church has less to do about the place and more to do with the people. The church, in the biblical definition, is a community of believers who believe in Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible, who worship him, who grow in faith, who serve others, and make disciples. Church is a place to belong, not a building to go to. You'll hear us say this a lot, but church isn't about where you go. It's that it's who we are. We are the church. And the church exists to help people follow Jesus, to grow spiritually, and to multiply disciples who make disciples. So I was just going to ask, God designed the church to be a family. And to be in a family, you have to belong first. I thought it was really interesting that we used the word belong. I remember back in Montana, our old church had a tagline, and it was belong, believe, become. And sometimes you'll see those three, depending on the churches you visit. And most of the time you see it as believe, belong, become. But you have to believe or belong in a family first, even before you believe. So I was just going to ask, is anybody here aware that Utah Valley Church has a mission statement? Like, what's our one-word mission? You don't have to raise your hand. Maybe you could give like a little finger poke so I can maybe look, but no, your neighbor might not notice, you know? Well, here it is. I'm going to put it up on the screen because our hope is that we can catch the fire for the vision and the mission of our church. So the mission at Utah Valley Church is to multiply disciples through authentic relationship. That's the mission here. Multiply disciples. And the vision, which is, where are we going here? What are we here for? What are we driving towards is to see gospel-centered, disciple-making communities in every neighborhood in Utah Valley, in Utah State, and in every nation. But in order for us to get that vision and that mission, we have to understand why belonging is so important. So the first thing today as we talk about why belonging matters is this. God created us for connection and community. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we may not recognize exactly the tag for that, but we'll all recognize it when we read it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him a helper fit for him." This is always like a really striking verse. I remember when I learned about this verse in college, I was a pretty young Christian. And our professor was like, "Did anybody realize what just happened here? Because in all of creation, God has been creating, he's been making sun and the stars and the plants and the fish and the sea. And he's even molded Adam together and breathed his breath of life into him. And Adam even like gets to start naming animals and he's walking with God. And then God says, "It is not good for you to be alone." The first thing God calls not good in all of creation is the very epidemic that America and actually the United Kingdom have had for the last few years, which is loneliness. We're so lonely. He says it is not good. And here's the thing. He calls it not good before the fall. There is something that was not good before the fall. So we know the story, right? Adam goes to sleep. Well, God puts him to sleep, takes his rib or his side, creates Eve, and the story continues. Here is the beautiful thing. because we were made to reflect God and his glory. Not that we can't do that, you know, on the, like the same level that God did, but we should not live in isolation. We should actually be in these deep, abiding relationships with each other. And we can even see that played out in the Trinity, right? Because God himself has eternally existed in this loving triunity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, God's very being, the thing that we were made to reflect, is one of deep, abiding love. When we live in isolation, we dehumanize other people. We strip others of their ability to reflect God's nature. When we live together, you could say, and the church has said this for centuries, that we live as a family. So the question then becomes, well, if I need to belong and I need to be in God's family, when does that start? Well, I might have an answer for you. Number two today, you are part of God's family from the moment that you believe. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. He says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." God has designed the church and created a family in such a way where we are all across the entire globe. I mean, we were just praying over India, right? We were just praying for our family in India. So he created this in such a way that we're part of a global family and we're part of a local family. From the moment that we believe, we are in God's family. And here's what the Bible says, that in this moment when we believe, it says that God has adopted us to be his sons and daughters. Look at Galatians chapter 4, 4 through 6. It says this, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" So we have to ask ourselves a question: what does it even mean to be adopted? What does it mean that we get to call God this really intimate word for Father? Well, to be adopted means that at one point you were not someone's child, and now you are. You weren't family, and now you are. And the beautiful thing about this is God does not call us to do anything in order to be in his family other than believe in him. And let's be honest, right? If we tried to like earn our way into God's family, I don't think it would work anyway, right? Like, that's the point of the Gospels. We couldn't earn our way in to begin with. We're too marred with sin. There's no ritual, no phrase, no magic prayer, no good work, nothing that God requires of you in order for you to be in his family. But here's the thing about families. A family requires and needs certain things in order to operate well and without dysfunction. I was talking with, I was actually talking with my counselor on Thursday, and we're working through some stuff that happened in my childhood, but I had a very dysfunctional family growing up. My dad was not very present. My mom was a very shame-filled person who filled me with that same shame. We get to see that. So there are parameters by which we can see a healthy family and a dysfunctional family. So here's like some things that we can watch out for, things that we can do. Here's the first thing. It's actually number three today. It says, being connected to a local church helps you grow spiritually and participate in God's kingdom. We need to make sure that we're pouring into each other so that we can grow spiritually and in our relationships. We need someone to pour into us. We need to pour into them. We need to take intentional time to connect with each other on Sunday mornings. Here's what Acts chapter 2 says. This is really awesome. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. There's a lot there. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in this Acts chapter 2 church. Does anybody like notice like this long list of things that are going on? Because here's some of them, right? They had all things in common with each other. They sold their belongings. They gave to each other financially. They met daily, notice this, both in the temple and in their homes. They ate together, it says, with glad and generous hearts. They praised God together. They had favor with all people, and God was adding to their numbers daily. Does this not sound like a really awesome thing to be a part of, like a really great family to be in? I mean, I don't know anybody that would like look at this list and say, I definitely don't want that. Like that just, I don't even know what I would do if somebody said that to me. I think I would just be, my dad has a word, I would be flabbergasted by it. I'd be like, what? Excuse me? But notice something really important about all these awesome things. They all require humans to interact with each other. Humans to take responsibility for each other, right? So to have all things in common with each other means something like we have to be willing to share our ideas with each other and have our ideas refined by each other. You have to be so willing to help someone that you would even sell what you have to make sure that they are taken care of. To be able to give financially, you need to be able to trust God with the finances that you have now. To meet daily means that you have to prioritize time with those who are in the family. And I pointed this out earlier, but I really just wanted to throw this out because I've never noticed this. A lot of our circles, when we talk about like what was the practice of the early church, because that's a really big thing, right? We want to follow as closely as possible the teachings of those who were as close with Jesus when everything started. We always talk about how they met together in homes. But notice that the verse also said they met in the temple daily together too. So I was kind of like, oh, I've never noticed that before. And I think that's like a really good way for us to understand and recognize that we need to also prioritize Sunday mornings with each other as much as we prioritize microchurch gathering on Tuesday night because it's the best one. I will work that into every sermon. I just need everyone to know that. Okay, to be able to eat together, right? Because we're not done with this list here. To be able to eat together means that somebody has to be willing to buy the food, buy the drinks, host the place, and do the daunting task of cleaning up before and after, you know, to praise God even in a corporate context means that somebody has to initiate the praising, whether that's through song, or word or conversation. When we participate in these acts, I can guarantee that we are going to grow spiritually. Because like Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. If you are not connected to a local body of believers, your growth is going to be really stunted. And the devil loves convincing people that they can do their spiritual life alone and that they don't need to be a part of the local body of believers. But as we just discovered in our really awesome Tuesday night micro church a couple weeks ago, we were going through Hebrews chapter 10. Here's what Hebrews says. Verse 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God could have just snapped his fingers and made everything perfect and clean and amazing. But God chose to give responsibility on some levels to humans. God's plan involves people. Remember, in Genesis, before the fall, God tells Adam and Eve, fill the earth and subdue it. Basically, go out, multiply your kind, and take care of the earth. He sends them out on a mission. And then what does Jesus do in Matthew 28? He says, go make disciples of all nations. He gives us another mission. His plan involves people because it is about people. So if that's the case, why would we ever think that he would want us to be isolated from community? He wouldn't want that. Paul even reminds us that God's given us gifts, gifts of the Spirit, not for us personally to enjoy or abuse, but for the purpose of building up God's family. Check this out. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is point four today. Everyone has a role and everyone brings unique gifts to the team. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says this, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Okay, here's some really cool stuff to just point out here. To be members of one another individually means that even though Paul is speaking of collective terms, to just continue with Paul's analogy of being members of one another, we are all parts of the global body, as in our congregation has a piece and is a member of the global body of Christ. It also means that our little, beautiful, amazing congregation here in Spanish Fork, us in Utah Valley, are called individually to different functions within the church. What I mean is this, our church may collectively look like, I don't know, just pick a random part just for the sake of doing it. We might just be like the kneecap of the Lord, like in the global church, right? You know? But in our given congregation, each person in this room right now could be a kneecap. And another person could be the elbow. And another person could be like the left index finger. You see where I'm going here? Just as the family has different roles, right? You have like a father, a mother, a son, you have daughters, aunts. uncles. Just as everybody here has a specific role to play in a family, so too do we as the local church have the same kind of responsibility. You might be sitting here right now, and God is calling you, like he's calling Kevin, to be the funkel of the congregation. Who doesn't want, amen, I heard that. God might be calling you to be the funkel right now, so that's a blessing to me, by the way. I've been that before. I'm sure nobody could tell. Anyway, we all have a part to play in God's plan. And what that means is, if we have a part to play in God's plan, we can't just sit on the sidelines and be half committed to each other. Can you imagine if in my dysfunctional family growing up, my mom was half committed to me? And I need work. Point number 5 today. Participation matters immediately. You don't have to be ready. And you don't have to be perfect to join in to the role that King Jesus is calling you to this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. So every part of the body, meaning every person right now, has a God-given purpose for their individual life and a God-given purpose within the local church family. When we become part of God's church, God calls us, as imperfect as we are, to take responsibility for each other and to seek those we can help. I've been reading through the book of Hosea lately. I've read a lot of the New Testament lately, and I thought, you know, let's go back to like a minor prophet that people maybe don't interact with too much. And it's actually been really interesting, because one of the themes that's been showing up a ton in this book is how much God desires, more than anything else, he desires his people to seek him and to do his will. And that, and I think this was in Hosea 4, even that, this idea of seeking him trumps being perfect before we step into God's call. Because we could never be perfect anyway, right? Amen to that. God does not call the qualified, right? He qualifies the called. That's what he does. So you might be sitting here thinking something like, Brian, I don't even know where I would start. I don't even know how I would help. I don't even think I know what my giftings are. And to that I would say this, it's totally fair. That's totally fair, right? We can all be frozen and think, I don't know what I could possibly do. We'll get to that a little bit later, but here's a few things that we need to understand as we begin to kind of wrestle through, well, what could I do, and what would it even look like to start to step out in ways that I think Jesus is calling me? Well, this is how the church team works. Number one, the church is not a solo effort. It's a team. It's a family. The church is not just like a stage for a few, right? It's a team sport where everybody plays. We're not fans, you know, in the stands who are like cheering for the pastors and the leaders. We're actually players on the field. I don't know if anyone, I can't remember who wrote it. There was a book that came out when I was in high school called Not a Fan, and it was all about this, how we think that being part of a church means we sit on the sideline and like cheer the super pastors on, you know, like I was going to say Mark Driscoll, but got to be careful with that one. a couple of you got that one. Cheering on local pastors. We're just going to go there. I feel like, yeah, we're just going to keep moving here. But we're actually not fans on the sidelines. We're players on the field, and each one of us is called to advance Jesus' mission. In fact, one of the things that we use at Utah Valley Church is like how we define being a disciple is it's someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. Changed by Jesus, following Jesus, changed by Jesus, committed to the mission. Okay, Ephesians 4 says that God gave leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry. He gave leaders to equip the saints. Well, who are the saints? That's all of us. All of us who are in God's family. And what are the saints doing? They're being equipped for the work of ministry. That means that ministry doesn't just like happen, you know, like up here. And it doesn't happen when I've got the guitar in my hand. Though that can happen. It happens out there. It happens in living rooms. It happens at coffee shops. It happens out there. Workplaces, classrooms where maybe you're a teacher. That's where it happens. The team isn't like a handful of people, right? It's you guys, and it's me. And it's all of us together. This is also how the church team works. It works by serving, attending, and contributing gifts to help the team grow and advance the mission. Look at Ephesians 4. We kind of referenced it earlier. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ." God has given everybody in this room a purpose, and he has done so for a purpose. And when you use these gifts, guess what happens? The family grows stronger. Your faith grows deeper. People's needs are met. When one person gives, more needs are met. When one person prays, it's like watching heaven move. God gave every person who follows Jesus these spiritual gifts. And I learned this from my professor. This was like mind-blowing for me. God gave every person in this room spiritual gifts, not just because he loves you, but because he loves everyone around you. And God gave everyone around you spiritual gifts, not just because he loves them, but because he loves you. Everyone has a part to play. So you might be thinking, okay, I think I understand a little bit how it being part of the family works and how we all have parts to play. And while I may not know exactly what God wants me to do, I'm definitely at least willing to like step out and see what he does. Because to be honest, I would much rather be unsure that God is calling me to something and just step towards it than to just like not and then just regret having never done that in the first place. Here's a few things, right? At Utah Valley Church, belonging isn't this passive thing, right? We titled the sermon series, Join the Adventure, right? This is an adventure that we all get to join and partake in as we follow King Jesus. We get to grow closer to God. We get to grow closer to one another, all the while doing life side by side. Here's some areas that I think we could definitely use some help in, right? We gather in micro churches and we gather in small groups. This is really like where you could say like the meat and potatoes of belonging happens. This is where belonging goes from something like attending to actual family. It's where prayer goes from general to personal. It's where faces become names. Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday morning. We've got like almost every day of the week covered here. Wherever you are in life, man, there is a seat for you here at Utah Valley Church. Some other things we do, right, is we serve on teams that make the mission tangible. We've got an amazing, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's vibrant almost. Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights. And my wife helps with the childcare there. I get to do worship there every other week. If you're like, man, I'm not sure where to help serve, hey, we need help taking care of the children so that more people can come to Celebrate Recovery who are maybe worried about or may not be able to afford leaving their kids at home with a babysitter, right? They can just bring them there. We need people to help with worship on Sunday mornings and on Monday nights. And hey, if your micro church does worship at all on those nights, we need people to fill those spots too. We have people like Sterling who are helping out with sound and slides all the time. That's an area we can help. We've got people doing more sound stuff, like Kyle helps out and Kurt helps out. Slides, sound, all of this. And here's the thing, right? These aren't just roles to play. These are ways to reflect God's specific calling and design of your personhood. Even like a smiling greeter like Danny over here, just the coolest guy. He was the first one I met when I came here, by the way, in case anyone's wondering. Every sound check, every greeter, every leader investing in a microchurch, we're all part of God's plan to reach Utah Valley. And 27 states right now. Does that mean 27 states are watching live right now? Ladies and gentlemen, is that not just crazy cool? 27 different states are watching right now. Yeah. That's killer awesome. Man, I got goosebumps on that one. No, we're not going to go there. That is amazing. To everybody watching online, we love you. All right. Okay. Number three, how we do this at Utah Valley Church, how we join the team, what it looks like to be a part of the team is we commit to consistency. Because belonging takes showing up. Not because God needs our attendance, but because we need each other. Because we need the family. And the more that we show up and the more that we invest, the more we discover how God shows up too. And if the worship team wants to come up, they definitely can. So I would say this as we get ready to close out today. If you are sitting here and maybe God has whispered something in your ear, or maybe you've had a talent for since you were born that's just been a part of who you've always been, and you want to learn how to take that bud and grow it into a beautiful rose, the best place to start is to talk to one of the pastors here. If you're in a micro church, talk to whomever is leading your micro church that day. We'll find a spot for you because belonging isn't something you earn. It's something you're invited into. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have adopted us to be sons and daughters of your family, your kingdom. My prayer this morning is that you would whisper into our hearts and our ears the things you want us to do and be involved in. Reminding us that every activity and everything we do flows from being connected to you, the vine. Lord, we love you. We thank you that unworthy people like us are even invited to be part of your family and your mission anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.